All right, Alexander, let's talk about the Geneva meeting in regards to the Cyprus problem. And the meeting took place between the government of Cyprus, the breakaway state in the north, Greece, Turkey, and the UK there as a guarantor states, and the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. Now, this meeting was about a 3-day summit meeting in Geneva, and the objective of this meeting was to see if there was common ground to be found so that you could have a follow-up summit and perhaps get to a solution to the occupation of the north part of Cyprus by this so-called Turkish breakaway republic, and of course Turkey proper itself. Everything broke down. Alexander, it broke down, and Gutierrez said as much, that there was no common ground to be found. Let me read you the statement from Gutierrez, just so I quote him properly. The truth is that at the end of our efforts, we have not yet found enough common ground to allow for the resumption of formal negotiations. He also said that the United Nations would make a fresh attempt in probably 2 or 3 months. Now, we have in around, I believe, the June time period, the European Union will be discussing more integration with Turkey. I believe that's going to be taking place. That's an interesting, I believe it's June. That's an interesting development that we should keep an eye out for, because it ties into the fact that Turkey is not budging on their position with Cyprus. But the main blocking part, the main sticky point in all of this, was that the breakaway part in the north, they want a separate state to be recognized. They don't want a federation, a bizonal bicommunal federation, which is part of the framework of the Security Council with regards to solving the Cyprus problem. This time around, Tatar, the leader of the northern part, wants a two-state solution. In other words, he wants the north part to be recognized as a state. No one recognizes it, to be recognized as a state, and to have negotiations begin under that assumption. Obviously, the UN could not agree to that. Obviously, the Republic of Cyprus could not agree to that. And there you have it. Here we are, where we are. Of course, full disclosure, I'm in Cyprus. I'm a Cypriot. You're Greek, so you're Greek and you're English, so you're part of the two countries which are guarantor states. There was some criticism from the Greek side that the UK and RAB was siding very much with Turkey during the negotiations. I don't know if you want to address that as well, but the UK has had very friendly, as far as Cyprus is concerned, has traditionally had friendly relations with Turkey as far as the negotiation process would take place in the past. They've always seemed to side a little bit more with Turkey. I've never understood that dynamic either. But anyway, your thoughts on everything.
No. But well, let's start with Britain. I mean, Britain has consistently wanted to maintain close relations with Turkey. It consistently sees Turkey as an ally. It's done so ever since the 19th century. The Crimean War was a war which Turkey and Britain fought together. The basic reason is straightforward, which is that Turkey is a key ally for the United States, for Britain in its Britain's permanent feud against Russia. So they don't want Turkey slipping away and, as the British would see it, falling under Russian influence. I mean, this is the one and only focus of British foreign policy in that part of the Middle East. And of course, I would add the and Eastern Mediterranean. And I would add, of course, that there's all sorts of British people who have in the Foreign Office, in the various think tanks in London, who are now deeply invested in that policy. So Britain always, in the end, comes down on the side of Turkey in every one of these quarrels, because from the British point of view, Turkey is geopolitically more important because it has to be preserved as the adversary of Russia. Now, can I just make a general observation about this whole situation? The European Union is imposing sanctions on Russia because Russia is backing the two breakaway republics of the Donbass, the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics. The European Union refuses to recognize any of the steps that Russia has taken with respect to Ukraine, with Crimea and all the rest. And it is pursuing a policy of basically confrontation with Russia over that issue. Turkey actually invaded Cyprus in 1974 with its army, air force and navy. This wasn't, you know, an internal uprising. It was actually a Turkish invasion. Turkey carved out this territory in northern Cyprus, installed a government there, and calls it the Republic of Northern Cyprus, or whatever it is that it calls it. And what happens? The European Union talks about integration with Turkey, and Britain, which is so strong in its opposition to Russia, backs Turkey in the negotiations. So what the European Union and Britain, and the United States also, by the way, say about Russia and the Donbass and Crimea clearly does not apply where Turkey is concerned. I'm just making that point simply because, as a Greek person, I think it's a point that should be made. We, that is to say the Greeks and the Cypriots, are victims of a geopolitical play with respect to Turkey, which, of course, when it's Russia, is played differently. Now, I just want to make that
point. Can I make one more? Can I just say one point on what you're saying real quick? Greece and Cyprus, if I'm not mistaken, they have to vote in the EU for those sanctions to go through. So they actually vote to sanction Russia on these issues with regards to Donbass and East Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. And have accepted severe economic losses in consequence and are called disloyal if they ever raise any word of criticism of these actions. Because, of course, Greece and Cyprus are, you know, heavily integrated, or were at one time heavily integrated in trade with Russia. So, you know, I want to make these points. I mean, people talk about the situation in Cyprus and they talk about the situation in Ukraine in completely different ways, even though the Turks have done openly in Cyprus what the Russians are accused of doing in Ukraine, at least in the Donbass. It's quite remarkable, actually. Now, on this question of the Turks insisting upon the outright independence of northern Cyprus, well, if that ever happens, there's not going to be any negotiations, because what would there be to negotiate about? The Turks would have got their state. They would say in that case, we don't need to negotiate. So when the Turks say, you know, recognize that northern Cyprus is an independent country and then we can have negotiations. I mean, they're talking as they perfectly well know, about something that is nonsense. That would not be a lead up to negotiations. That would be the end of independence. Now, I have to say this straightforwardly. Erdogan, who is, as we all know, the person who is the leader of Turkey, who conducts this great neo-Ottoman foreign policy in which he supports Turks everywhere, expands Turkish influence in every place, talks about Turkey as being the superpower of the region. He has already said very clearly that there should be a republic, an independent republic of northern Cyprus, and the world must recognize it. There is no conceivable way, it seems to me, that he is going to retreat from that position, since it is he who is in actual control of northern Cyprus. There is no way that the northern Cyprus government, if you want to call it that, is going to deviate from that position either. So there is really no point in conducting negotiations based on the UN position that there should be one Cypriot state, a bizonal federation, as Guterres was saying, whilst Erdogan remains in power, because he's not going to shift from that position. The only way he might be induced to shift from that position is if the Europeans and the Americans were to put upon him the kind of pressure which they refuse to put. On the contrary, we hear again about how the EU is going to talk about integration arrangements with Turkey in a few months. So that, in effect, freezes the conflict. Erdogan has no incentive to shift, and he's not going to shift, and the situation is going to remain frozen indefinitely unless and until either Western policy towards Turkey changes radically, or conceivably a successor to Erdogan in Ankara takes a more conciliatory view. Now, whether that will ever happen, I simply don't know. But that's the situation we are in.
Okay, so let's dig into that just a little bit so I can get your thoughts. Turkey and the breakaway republic, right? They've hardened their stance. Mm-hmm. They've changed things around.
Yeah.
At one point, we were talking about a federation. Let's just keep it simple. A bizonal, bicommunal federation structure. Now they're saying two-state solution. So they've changed their stance completely. They're trying to change the narrative of the negotiations. Yeah. And they're saying, we're not going to proceed unless we recognize two separate states. We're not talking about federation anymore. We're talking about two separate states negotiating. Cyprus and the Cypriot government and the Greek government have maintained the UN stance, the Security Council stance, that the way forward is a federation, and we're just only going to negotiate on that. And, we've been at this for 40 plus years now, and nothing's happened. Mm. Cyprus has British bases in Cyprus, even though the British consistently side with Turkey on these issues, and they are a guarantor nation. Mm. We've 100% pivoted towards EU, US, NATO. We've completely cut off all bridges towards Russia as well. That's both Cyprus and Greece. Greece has been hollowed out by the US, by the EU with all the austerity. So Greece is a fraction of the power that it used to be. So they can't even exert that much leverage on Turkey at all, actually. they're a fraction of what they used to be. And then you have the EU, where the Cyprus government is super Merkel friendly. They're super German friendly. They're super EU friendly. And every move they make, they always talk about, well, we'll negotiate, and I'm paraphrasing, we'll negotiate with Turkey, but of course, everything is going to be with the help and with the assistance of the European Union and Borrell and von der Leyen. And before that, it was Juncker and Tusk and Moragani and so on and so forth. They never change their tact. They never change their strategy. And going off of what you said, the EU has always supported Turkey. Always. Always. Yes. They had a chance to sanction Turkey 3 months ago. They didn't do it. Merkel has shied away from taking a tough stance towards Turkey, even though we know that much of the problems were induced by Merkel and Erdogan with regards to the migrants and with Syria. No one talks about what Turkey did to Syria either, by the way. No one talks about that. My question, as I say all of this, isn't it time? Because I'm not only going to put the blame on Turkey and the North with the way they hardened their stance. Isn't it time that Cyprus and Greece change up their approach? How about, and this may be radical, just my opinion, I'm gonna say, how about you tell the British, get your bases off the island tomorrow? How about some diplomacy with the Russians? Once again, it's a dangerous game. You don't want to piss off the Americans. You don't want to piss off NATO, because they could give the green light to Turkey to invade. But isn't there a formula where Greece and Cyprus could at least get a little more creative, get in the diplomatic game a little bit?
Well, absolutely. Of course there is. And that's why Greece loses. That's why Cyprus loses, because they rely upon the support of the British, the Americans and the Europeans. And especially in the case of the Europeans and the British, that support is never forthcoming. I mean, it's sooner or later. I will tell you where this is going to end, because the Turks have played that very game that you've been saying of, tilting towards the Russians, gaining leverage over the Europeans that way. So the Europeans, the Americans and the British say, we've got to give more to the Turks in order to keep them from going over completely to the Russian side. So we make concessions to them. Sooner or later, the Americans, the British and the Europeans will turn round to the Greeks and they will say, well, look, this situation has gone on so long now that we need to keep Turkey on side. So you must accept that there is going to be a independent Republic of Northern Cyprus. And if you don't, we're going to recognise that anyway. And at that point, because of this overcommitment to the EU, especially to the EU and to the US, Greece has no cards to play. Cyprus has no cards to play. Because we aren't playing them. I mean, we've thrown them away. We are over dependent on one group of Western nations, which ultimately have a much bigger geopolitical game to play in that part of the world. And Turkey is important to them, and they believe rightly that because of their extreme loyalty, they can take Greece and Cyprus for granted. So sooner or later, they will. They will. That's the real trajectory of this. The Turks have hardened their position. And at some point, as night follows day, the British, the Germans, the Europeans, the Americans will come to it, because they always do. Because the Greeks give them, especially the Greeks, give them no reason to do otherwise. If the Greeks had a more equidistant position between the EU and Russia and the other big blocs, they would be able to say, well, hold on a moment. If you start playing that kind of game with the Turks, well, we are going to look for new friends. And we've already got options, and we're going to pursue those options. After all, that is what Erdogan does. That gives him strength. Greece doesn't do that. Cyprus doesn't do that. And as a result, its influence is, their influence is collapsing.
Yeah, they allow Turkey to be creative with their geopolitics and their foreign policy. But we're literally saying the same thing for the past 40 years. Oh. And there's zero creativity in the way we approach these problems. And there's no gamesmanship. We're not playing the game at all. At all. And my question comes to you is, what comes next is a two-state solution de facto, because you're not going to solve anything, so it's just going to become a two-state solution. And absolutely, I think the EU will tell Cyprus and Greece, look, this is the situation, just accept it. If you have that two-state solution, Cyprus eventually will be taken over by Turkey. I think that's a given. I don't think you'll be able to stop that. And eventually, you are going to get to the point, and Erdogan has made this claim, and he is saying it out loud, so he's not hiding his cards. You are going to get to the point where those islands right around Turkey, those Greek islands, Turkey's going to lay claim to them, and they're going to press the issue. And eventually, and the Greeks may not want to hear it, eventually over time, Turkey will get those islands because they play the game. That is the difference. How does Greece play the game when it's so weak? Over the past 10, 15 years, it's become so damn weak on every level, political, economic. Yes. I mean, Greece is just, it's not even, it's such a hollowed out country at this point in time. What do they do? Because Cyprus is little. Well, they need Greece. How does Greece assert itself again?
Well, the first thing Greece needs to do is to sort out its domestic politics, which frankly isn't going to happen at any time soon, which is a deeply depressing truth, but that's the reality of it. But what Greece needs to do, it's actually very straightforward. Greece needs to start distancing itself from the European Union, because that is the source of its weakness. That is the source of its weakness. Before it joined the European Union, Greece's economy was growing at a rate of 7% a year. That sounds incredible today, but it's a fact. It was industrializing. That's also a fact. People tend to forget this. The moment it joined the European Union, economic growth started to slacken. And since it joined the euro, well, we all know what a disaster it's been. So it needs to start distancing itself from the European Union. It needs to accept that this experiment of European integration has been a total disaster. And it's got to start working towards building bridges with other friends. Now, in a way, the geopolitical environment is favourable. Russia has re-emerged, and it's done so in a way that's radically different from the way that it was in the Cold War. It's no longer a communist country. It's a Christian Orthodox country, fundamentally favourably disposed to Greece. It can play some kind of game with Russia. I mean, there is game with Russia, be straightforward, but at the same time, develop a good relationship with Russia. It can take strong positions within the EU Council over this to the extent that it wants to remain part of that. It can say, for example, sanctions we are not prepared to go along with anymore because at the end of the day, we're not getting anything. We're being loyal to you and you're not being loyal to us. That's the first thing. And of course, it's also got another fact that beyond Russia, there's also China. The Chinese are already economically involved. Now, you can do that. You can unscramble. You can start talking with these people. You can start working towards building bridges with them. But in order to do that, you have to do that major first conceptual step, which is start accepting that the EU is not a solution for Greece and its problems, and for Cyprus too. It is the cause of those problems. Now, that if you start to think in that way, then you start to see the sort of things you might be able to do. If I could just indulge you in a little Greek history, the Greeks need to think back to their former statesman, Eleftherios Venizelos, who was the leader of Greece before, during and after the First World War in the 1920s. And he was a brilliant diplomat and he knew exactly how to talk to all the great powers. And at times he was very friendly with Turkey. He developed a very close relationship with İnönü, who was the foreign minister of Turkey at the time when Mustafa Kemal Atatürk was the leader of Turkey. And he had that skill. He had that ability to do exactly what you say, to play the game. And at the moment, we're not playing the game. We are just loyally turning up to these meetings brokered by Guterres, who, by the way, I get the impression is, for what it's worth, a decent man. Guterres and the British. And ultimately, we have nothing important to say. We just repeat ourselves, saying all the things we've been saying for 40 years, even though it's increasingly clear that fewer and fewer people are listening because they take us for granted.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Guys, I will drop a 10% discount code to the Duran shop down below. Use the code REALNEWS at checkout to get 10% off all merchandise. Take care.